Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith, Family, and Then Ford. What a neat sponsor of Power Ford has been for us. And Andrew Banks, our production manager, brings us on the air, and we appreciate Andrew very much helping us today. And it's a fun day. We have Jennifer Bryant in studio. Jennifer, I like talking with you. Your company is called Nourish Nutrition Counseling because food is a fun subject.
I like talking about food
a lot. It's a blast. A lot of times, and you know this because you've listened to the show, we have some pretty heavy topics. A lot of things going on in Santa Fe right now. And I'm going to go way off script here. You probably have some clients who have used medical marijuana products.
Mm-hmm.
And we've interviewed a number of people, a lot of people in the faith community that swear by them and think, boy, this is really helping me. It's tremendous. But in the midst of that, there's some issues. Like, first of all, it's still against federal law mm-hmm. to use cannabis products.
Right.
Number two, if you're a law enforcement person or a first responder or you are a security guard and mm-hmm. you're using those products, you cannot be armed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you're not allowed to work mm-hmm. because you're impaired in some way. So what I wanted to throw at you, and I just want to ask you about the health aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, we used to call them, you know, magic brownies. I mean, is that kind of stuff bad for you?
So it really depends, I think, on why the person is consuming it. Okay. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of legitimate medical reasons that it would actually help somebody. Mm. And so, like, for example, I have a client right now that I actually recommended it for because she was getting to the point where she was very dangerously low in weight.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that marijuana actually does increase our appetite.
Mm.
And so this was something that I recommended to her, and she doesn't do it very often, but she does use it, you know, sporadically when she's at home.
And that's the medical marijuana products
exactly.
that are legal and
yes.
prescribed and all that good
yes,
stuff.
Yes, exactly. And so she's had very good luck with it. I know, you know, I personally know a couple other people that have their medical marijuana cards, mostly for things like psychological issues, anxiety, mm. mostly, maybe post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown to really help calm the brain for some of those kinds of things, but it's definitely not without side effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really like any other drug. You have to weigh the risks and the benefits and decide if it's right for you. And I would say, honestly, I think probably more people are using it than is necessary
mm-hmm.
or than are being helped from it. But, you know, that being said, it has a place. And
yeah.
and I have seen it help some people. So.
Jennifer Bryant, our guest this afternoon, is a registered dietitian, nutritionist. She is also, and this is a lot, a certified diabetes care and education specialist.
Yes.
Now, she is also the author of a new book called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food Faith to Fuel Your Health.
Yes.
Wow. Today on ABQ Connect, we're going to talk to Jennifer about her new book and how the Bible directs her nutrition counseling sessions.
Yes.
The book's coming out, not quite yet.
Not quite yet.
But we're
working on publishing. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, I want you to explain this statement, which is a statement from your book. To improve our health and well-being, we must find a way to bridge the gap between knowing and doing. The bridge comes from God's word. His word is filled with instruction to us in how to lead a life pleasing to him, which includes honoring our bodies and feeding them well.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that quote, Jim, because this is what it's all about. I mean, if you ask anybody you come in contact with, what should you be eating? 99% of us know the answer,
mm-hmm.
right? We all kind of know what foods we should be eating more of, what foods we should not be eating as much of. And so there's a disconnect between what we know about food and then what we're actually doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole book is about bridging that gap. So how can we do more of what we know we should do?
Well, and again, you know, that disconnect, I typically will eat a lot of green vegetables. I enjoy those. I like meat, but I don't really think I overeat it. Now, mm-hmm. a person that's a vegetarian would say, oh, well, yeah, any meat's no good. I understand that position. You've talked about that a little mm-hmm. bit. But I enjoy it, you know, little chicken, lean cuts of beef, some fish. Mm-hmm. Although I got back from San Diego 2 weeks ago, and the fish in San Diego is a little different than it is in Albuquerque.
Yes, it is.
Sorry to say. It's also Mexican food's a lot different in California than it is in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I'll say New Mexico has quite a big edge.
Yeah,
as far as that goes.
For sure.
So, Jennifer, when you start to talk about all this, we are all seeing easy fixes that are marketed to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, weight control mm-hmm. things and low fat and this and that. What are some of the easy fixes that people pay attention to?
Oh, there's so many out there. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is all the fad diets that we see. The popular diets, you know, and people will always say, this is not a fad. This is something I'm going to do for my life. And, you know, and maybe that's true. Maybe that's true. But these things are things that kind of come and go, and they don't really follow, you know, historical nutrition science, really.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about, you know, staying in the realms of what we know we should be doing, we have to really caution ourselves in staying away from some of those fads and some of those tricky things. I think people are really hoping that there might be a magic pill mm-hmm. that comes out, you know? And so when you hear about something new and you hear of somebody who's had a really good success with something, you think, oh, that might really work well for me too, you know? And so it's really tempting to just buy those things right away without really thinking about them or without really looking at the science behind them.
Well, nothing specific comes to mind, but there have been, for example, diet pills
yes.
that have come out over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can tell, most of those diet pills are now part of these legal commercials that we see in the evening that say, if you took this pill, please call us here because
right.
we have a class action suit going. And,
right.
you know, these attorneys want to know so that they can go after these people and make you back some money because
right.
they're harmful.
Right. Well, and the problem is with diet pills is, you know, there's a couple different ways that you can go at it. You can start looking at things that affect metabolism, and you can make a pill to help increase people's metabolism. That was the really dangerous one that we saw in the 70s and 80s called Fen-Phen. Mm. It was phentermine. It was basically speed.
Mm.
And so it made people really jittery, really anxious, really energetic. And so it increased their metabolisms. And then the other way that we're seeing more of a trend now is a lot of the pharmaceutical companies are coming up with appetite suppressants. So drugs that actually lower your appetite or lower your desire for food.
Mm. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about food and good things to eat and things not good to eat. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Jennifer Bryant right after these messages.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade of Dave Slade and Associates. Holly, you're the expert I go to when I've got the real estate questions I need answers to.
Thanks, Steve.
I was talking to a young man not long ago who's been in a job for 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing pretty good. And, you know, he was talking about wanting to buy a home someday. And I said, what's keeping you from doing that? And he says, well, I don't have a down payment yet. So what would you tell a young person that's thinking about buying?
You know, there are so many first-time home buyer programs out right now, and even next home buyer programs that only require $500 down. So as long as somebody's got $500, they can get in on a conventional program, they can get in on an FHA program, and with zero down, they can get in on a VA program. So down payment right now is just really not an issue. There's so much opportunity.
And $500 in today's economy, Holly, I could almost shake that out of my car on my couch. Really, if someone is thinking about it and they've got those questions, and really, it's almost a little anxiety about buying as a young person. They don't know really the path to take. They need to talk to the expert. How do they reach you?
They should give us a call. You know, 75% of young people, it is still the American dream to own a home. So we'd like to help them with that. So give us a call at 342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise at knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are with Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, and she's now the author of a book that's going through its paces before it's released here in a short time. Her book is called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. Jennifer, what are some of the main concepts of the book?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times we tend to compartmentalize our lives, right? So I'm thinking about myself. I get up in the morning. I spend, 20 minutes reading my Bible, studying, doing something with scripture, and then I move on with my day. And often I'm not thinking about how that scripture should affect my choice, like with my breakfast or with my lunch or with whatever. And so I think we tend to think that the Bible is separate from how we're feeding ourselves, right? And mm-hmm. So the whole point of this book is to put them together and to say, no, the Bible actually does teach us quite a bit in how we feed our bodies.
Yes. Hey, in the midst of this, and I don't know why I've gotten distracted, but you said off air that you're going to the Toby Mac Hits Deep Tour tonight.
I am, yes.
And I want to remind everybody that that's happening tonight at the Santa Ana Star Center. Toby Mac, Torrin Wells, Jordan Felice, We Are Messengers, Ryan Stevenson, Aaron Cole, and Cochran and Company. It's going to be a fun concert.
I'm so excited.
Few tickets left, so go to Ticketmaster.com. And you'll probably get pretty hungry because you're going to be standing up, clapping, and worshiping.
You're going to burn some calories.
And have a blast. So Jennifer, keep going with the concepts
sure.
of the book.
So really what we start with is motivation. So we've got to have the proper motivation in making some changes. And so a lot of times we have a hard time thinking about what does that mean? And so we talk a lot about idols, actually, in this book, because we talk about an idol being anything that can distract us from God or anything that's more important than God. And so I see two things related to our health that we tend to put as idols. One is just food itself, mm-hmm. right? So we take something that God has given us to nourish our bodies and to be pleasurable as well. Like we enjoy the taste of food, right? And that's a good thing. God made us to enjoy food. But the problem becomes when food becomes the most important thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so then it becomes an idol and we think about it a lot. We think about it all the time. We want to eat all the time. So then that becomes a problem. Right.
Yes.
So that's one aspect of it. The other extreme is people tend to take this whole concept of health and body image now become an idol. Okay. So we go from one extreme where we don't necessarily care what we look like. We're more concentrated on the food and the pleasure of food. Or we can go the other extreme where now we're obsessively focused on how we look or our health potentially. And both of those things can become idols as well. And so on either extreme, we've lost the most important thing that should be in our lives, right? Which is God.
Yeah. You've obviously worked with a lot of people that have taken extremes on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure eating disorders is something that you have to address. What really happens, Jennifer? Is it a psychological, is it a desire to look a certain way? I mean, I understand that sometimes people, they're just upset if they have a number like, oh, I want to weigh 120 and mm-hmm. they weigh 122.
Right.
And they're really, really obsessive about getting that other 2 pounds off,
right.
Which none of us would ever be able to know one way or the other if body image was even important.
Right.
And number two, a lot of people that are fighting eating disorders like anorexia and so forth, they just look really ill.
Right. And when you're talking about extreme eating disorders, it is a psychological issue where, I think we definitely need to be careful when we say, these mental health issues that we're talking about. Here's a Bible. Like, the Bible will fix all of your problems, right?
Sure.
It's a piece of it for sure. But I think we have to make sure that we're doing a very well-rounded care for this person, right? Mm-hmm. And so that includes somebody like me, like a dietitian, who can help guide this person in what to eat and proper amounts to eat and all of that. And it probably includes a licensed counselor or therapist to help with some of the mental health issues. And then it also includes the spiritual aspect too. I think the heart behind the motivation is so important, right? And that's the hard thing, because from an outsider perspective, I can't necessarily tell you if your motivation is sinful, right? Mm-hmm. In why you want to lose weight or why you want to change your eating habits. So that's between the person and the Lord, right? And so I think it's interesting because we don't think about that part of it very often. How can we go about this in the right way, where my actions and my choices that I'm making are actually pleasing to God?
I don't know if this analogy will make sense, but I'm going to attempt to make it anyway. My experience is limited, so forgive the metaphors.
Okay.
I've worked with a lot of kids that are wanting to become great basketball players. From the time they're very young and they get into high school and they're starting to have a lot of success, they're getting some recognition. And one of the things that I always do is I stop them and I say, are you still having any fun
mm-hmm.
playing this game?
Mm-hmm.
Or are your goals so obsessive? And so, for example, there's a lot of people that'll teach basic, old time sayings like, you can be anything you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the truth. Most of us can want to be LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? That's not the way God made us.
Right.
We're not going to be LeBron James. Now, it's fun to, develop aspects of your game and be all God has created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really destroy your love for anything mm-hmm. if you obsess about it.
Right.
Is food kind of the same?
I definitely think so. And actually, that's one of the concepts in this book as well, is joy.
Mm.
So, I think for many people, food has kind of become an enemy. Right. It's something that puts on weight. It's something that we have to do because we get hungry, but we don't enjoy it anymore. And so part of the concept is just finding joy in eating again and finding joy in taking care of your body. So instead of feeling like you have to go on another diet, that it's so hard. It's deprivation. It's all of these negative words. What we're doing is we're turning it around and we're saying, no, this is a joy to take care of what God has given me.
Yeah, taking care of the temple.
Exactly.
There you go. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio with us this afternoon. She is a registered dietitian and nutritionist. She's also a certified diabetes care and education specialist. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
The Children's Grief Center of New Mexico provides support services for children and their caregivers after the death of a loved one. Each month, specialized workshops are offered. During the school year, peer support groups are offered in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho. During the summer and holiday months, short-term services are offered, including Camp Corazon, a free 3-day, 2-night camping experience that provides grieving children with age-appropriate coping skills, helping them manage grief. Families are never charged for these services. The Children's Grief Center of New Mexico's 14th Annual Healing Hearts Luncheon and Silent Auction is Friday, February 7th at 11 a.m. Proceeds from this event help to provide the assistance these children and their caregivers need. To attend, sponsor a table, or donate in lieu of attending, go to childrensgrief.org or call 323-0478. That's 323-0478. Part of Mission New Mexico. Sponsored by New Mexico Solar Group, Mark Pardo Salon, Star 88, and KNKT.
When we see horrific images of children suffering due to terrorism, emotions are natural, but that is not enough. We need to take action. Please save the date for Reload Love's annual Love Bomb, the weekend of February 8th and 9th. Listen to Lenya Heitzig.
Reload Love wants to drop the L-bomb. We have the opportunity to bring materials and counseling and encouragement right now to kids impacted by ISIS.
On February 8th and 9th, Reload Love launches its annual Love Bomb weekend, a 48-hour virtual campaign of giving to bring aid to children throughout the world who've been impacted by the horror of terrorism. Reload Love is an army of love, providing trauma relief, medical supplies, academic programs, and safe spaces for children victimized by terrorism. We dream of a day when children do not fear for their lives. But today, hope must be combined with action. Save the date to drop the love bomb, February 8th and 9th, reloadlove.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling in studio with us. And if you'd like to call Jennifer and ask her any question about maybe diet or maybe you're concerned about your health and how that relates to food, give us a call. Our phone number here at the Connect line is 505-338-5790. And if you give a call, we'll give you some passes to Hinkle Family Fun Center. And I've also got some workout passes to Designer Bodies World Class Gym. So if you're interested in one of those prizes, give Jennifer a call this afternoon. Again, the number 505-338-5790. I'm going to shift now to the balance between motivation, encouragement, and discipline. And the reason I bring up discipline is, you know, losing weight and eating right takes a little discipline. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is Hebrews 12:11 says that discipline is never pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we're looking for, you know, we take an aspirin or an ibuprofen because we want to feel better. But that's not really the answer necessarily. Sometimes we have to have a little pain to have some gain, right?
Right.
I'm not sure that's scriptural, but my coach used to say it to me all the time. So what is that balance, Jennifer?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good thing to remember because it's not always pleasant when you're doing the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important to remember. Just because it doesn't feel good always doesn't mean it's wrong.
But we're not talking about torturing yourself either.
No. But I'm just thinking, you know, if somebody is used to eating fast food for lunch and then having a candy bar in the afternoon, you know, switching from that is probably going to take a little bit of discipline and it's probably going to be hard for a little while, right?
Sure.
The goal is, you know, eventually those tastes will change a little bit and you'll actually find joy in, you know, making a healthy choice rather than going to the, you know, the fast food place or whatever. But the truth is, it's hard to make those changes. It's really hard to change habits. And so I think that's what that verse is referring to, not necessarily food, but just discipline in general. It's not always easy at first, but then think about the results of it, mm-hmm. right? You grow, you become a better person in the context of nutrition, you become healthier, right? So there's many benefits of exercising that discipline or potentially that self-control.
Well, and you've also said in regard to self-control that when we can limit our processed carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
I'll remind people that I brought up Pop-Tarts once, and you said on the show, Jim, if it can sit on the pantry shelf for 6 months or more, that's not something you want to put in your body.
Right.
So, but carbohydrates, processed carbohydrates, are things that perpetuate hunger.
Yeah, they usually do not give us a sense of fullness, and so we can just eat and eat and eat.
So tell me in your practice. So you find out somebody like Jim Williams, he likes to go to the New Mexican food restaurant and have not one basket of chips with salsa, but as many as can be consumed within an hour.
Right.
It's ridiculous. But what do you do? How do you coach me to stay away from that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. You know, practically speaking, I would call that potentially a trigger for you. And I think it's really important to recognize those triggers. Okay. So like for me, peanut M&Ms. Mm. I love peanut M&Ms. I learned a long time ago that I should never buy a large bag of peanut M&Ms because I really have a hard time stopping, mm-hmm. you know, at an appropriate amount.
I resemble that statement.
Yes. So I would call that a trigger food for myself. And so there's probably a point in, and I'm going to call this a journey. This is part of why I called this book The Nourished Road, because I think about it as a journey, right? We're going in the same direction. We want to change our health habits. It's a process, right? It doesn't all happen overnight. So it might be very appropriate for a time that we get rid of that trigger food. So maybe for a month, I would tell you, hey, Jim, don't go eat Mexican just for this month until you feel like you have strengthened your self-control muscle a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I often use the analogy of a muscle with self-control. So we have this self-control muscle. Some people call it willpower. Okay. So that's another word to describe what we're talking about here. And the truth is we can overwork our self-control muscles, right? To the point where they are fatigued and they just do not work anymore. And so think about that as, you know, you're putting yourself in situation after situation where you have to say no to something and it wears you down, right? It gets really hard to continue saying no. Whereas if you use it appropriately, if you strengthen it appropriately, meaning every once in a while a situation gets thrown at you where you have to say no, then that self-control muscle gets stronger over time. And really the truth is that God has called us to use self-control in all areas of our life. And so why is food different? Mm-hmm. Right? I think we need to use self-control with our food and with our nutrition.
So are you telling us that we have to just stop cold?
Sometimes.
Or yes. Is there a process?
So it really depends on the person. Okay. So most of the time I would recommend a period of, I would call it a reset, right? Where we're kind of resetting the brain. The problem is when we have a habit established like that, it's really hard to just stop cold turkey, right? So what we have to do is we sort of have to distance ourselves from that situation for a time or from that food for a time, to sort of rewire the brain a little bit so that it's not as tempting to us. And so I recommend this a lot with sugar too. Some people will tell me they're addicted to sugar. And so we'll do a sugar reset. And that might be a week. That might be 2 weeks. That might be maybe there's one thing that's okay for them to eat during that time. It really just depends on the person. But a lot of times that reset period will help somebody get that control back.
You know, I'm just thinking of this again off script a little bit from the questions that we have that we went over prior to the going on air, but I'm thinking about people that have had soft drinks for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you that they feel addicted to those.
Yes.
The sugar rush and everything else. But I'm kind of seeing the same thing from people that are using diet sodas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an experience that you've
Is definitely something I've seen. Yes. Yes. And it's something about it's not necessarily an addiction, but it is a very well established habit.
Yeah, because that's not sugar, but
right.
They're, I don't know if it's the texture or the bubbles or what the taste, I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably a combination of all of it, and then it's probably just a well established habit that they once we get in these well-established habits, we don't even think about it, right? We just do it because we're used to it. And so that's both good and bad, right? It's really bad in the context of unhealthy foods, right? Because we don't even think about what we're eating. But it can also be really good when we start to establish some of those good habits because they become easy and we don't even think about it anymore.
We're going to come back and talk with Jennifer about some good habits, that maybe three things. I know there's probably a zillion of them, but we'll talk about three or four things that we should all be doing. Jennifer Bryant will be right back here on ABQ Connect.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Nearly every day, we're confronted with stories and images of acts of violence to terrible suffering in other countries. And it's children who are caught in the crossfire. With a heavy heart, Linya Heitzig turned to the Lord and asked, could someone like me do something?
Our targeted focus is children impacted by terror. And so we're really trying to help kids who are in the crossfire. Kids that are at one of the highest risks of, you know, endangerment through death or torture.
That was the beginning of Reload Love, reaching children in the name of Jesus for those victimized by violence. And we want to share her inspiring story with you by sending you the book, Reload Love, Transforming Bullets to Beauty and Battlegrounds to Playgrounds. We'll send you this inspiring Reload Love resource, plus the documentary DVD, when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Call now to give and receive your copy of the Reload Love book and DVD. 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I want to remind everybody that the Toby Mac Hit Deep Tour is coming to Santa Ana Star Center. Our Jennifer Bryant and her husband are going tonight.
We are.
It'll be a fun
time.
Actually,
I'm taking my children, too.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
The whole family.
It'll be their first concert.
Oh, and it's going to be tremendous. We've had a chance to talk a little bit with Ryan Stevenson here on the show. We've talked a little bit with Darren Mulligan with We Are Messengers. These guys just have an amazing heart. Mm-hmm. They're so talented. We've played a couple of their songs. Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice for Darren. Darren told us that he wrote a love song for his wife that appears on his new album. And it's just going to be a fun night. So I hope everybody gets out tonight to the Toby Mac Hits Deep Tour. Tickets available at Ticketmaster. I'm not sure they'll be available at the door because I understand it's getting kind of skinny in terms of tickets. But hope you can get out there. I want to remind everybody also that on February 27th, Love ABQ's Pastors and Leaders Conference is coming to town. Kevin Palau with the Lewis Palau Association, he's the president and director of that association, is going to be putting on a Pastors and Leaderships Conference at the North Church, which is near Montgomery and San Mateo. And then that evening, they're going to be doing a Renew Gathering, and that's going to be a neat thing with Jesus Culture, and that's going to be held at Sagebrush Church. So keep that on your calendar, February 27th, really a day of amazing things through the Lewis Palau Association. I wanted to let everybody know about that. Now, Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling, you have a new book that's going to be coming out here pretty quick. It's called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health.
Right.
Tell us really quickly, if you could, what is the 8-week Nourished Road?
So basically every day, there is a scripture passage to read through, along with a little bit of explanation, maybe some things to think about, and some questions of how do those concepts in that scripture relate to how you're taking care of your body. And then that same day, so every day you'll have a scripture passage and then also a nutrition portion. And so you'll have a few pages to read every day. It'll help your mind get focused on, you know, what needs to happen, what do you need to do today, and gives you some encouragement as well.
Good stuff. Well, I've asked you before, what are the important things, you know, and maybe two or three things that we ought to concentrate on. But I'm going to bring up one that I think's helped me. You've always taught us to eat intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how many times I've sat down and had a bowl of popcorn or chips or something else. And you're just mindless as you eat that stuff. And people wonder why they gain weight because they're not paying attention.
Right.
And that describes me to a T.
I mean, everybody, we all do that, right? We all think about the main places that you eat, right? I mean, the couch is a really big one. At least that's what a lot of my clients do. I do that sometimes too. The couch and what are we doing while we're eating? You know, we're watching TV or we're watching a movie. We're thinking about something else. And so we know that when we're not paying attention to what we're eating, our brains don't get enough satisfaction or as much satisfaction as they do when we're intentionally sitting down at a table thinking about what we eat. Mm. You know, and the fast food culture plays into this as well because, you know, we drive through, we pick up our food, we eat it in the car, and it's like we don't even think about it. We don't even know how that French fry tasted or that cheeseburger, you know, because we weren't even thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I think mindful eating is definitely a big piece of it.
So you're recommending that we don't unwrap the hamburger while we're driving down the road.
Right.
All kinds of reasons not to do that.
Right.
I mean, they talk about texting and driving. Eating and driving can't be a lot safer.
No, it's definitely dangerous.
And health-wise, I've got a real close friend, and she tells me all the time, you're eating too fast.
Right.
And you're not taking the time to let your body digest. Right. You're not chewing your food well.
Right.
So tell us about
that.
Yeah.
Well, so what's interesting, we actually have identified a lot of the, we call them appetite hormones, that are released in our stomach and also mostly our small intestine, actually. When we eat food, we have a release of those hormones, and they go to our brain and they tell our brains, hey, you're eating. This is good. You should be done, mm-hmm. right? That whole process takes 20 to 30 minutes for our brains to even understand that we've eaten something. And so if you're, you know, wolfing down your lunch at your desk in 10 minutes while you're working, your brain has no real concept that you've actually eaten and that you're satisfied. And so the problem is we are never satisfied. We never feel full. And so we are always eating, or we always want to eat.
Mm. And if you slow down, your body will react a little differently.
Yeah, exactly. So if you give your body time to get those signals, if you give your brain time to get those signals, you'll notice more easily when you're eating to be satisfied. And that's a big distinction too. I really encourage people to eat to be satisfied, not full. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what that means, right? And so the first thing to do is start paying attention to what does that feel like? What does it feel like to be satisfied but not full?
Yeah. I'm going to ask an economic question. A lot of times people go on diets, very famous people promoting, you know, go buy these boxes of food mm-hmm. and eat these certain mm-hmm. portions, and those people shall be remain nameless. Nothing wrong with that at
right.
all. Seems like it's very healthy, but it is very, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Do you think that's necessary?
No. In fact, you know, I would encourage people, anytime they're thinking about trying something new like that, ask yourself, how long is this sustainable? Right? Because we know that the reason that people are not successful long term is because they don't stick with something. So if something is working, then you need to ask, how long can I continue doing this? Because it's important that you continue it for a long time, probably for the rest of your life.
Right.
So, you know, I want to focus on lifestyle changes rather than these quick fixes, right? That's really, really an important concept. And so thinking about small things that you can do to encourage change and lifelong change, that's what's going to bring success.
Give us a couple examples of small changes.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we've talked about these before. I always come back to vegetables. You know, I think that's a huge one. And I love the idea of focusing more on what you should be eating rather than on what you know you shouldn't be eating. There's something in the brain where, you know, we tell ourselves we can't have this and we want it more, right? So I love, and this works really well for me and for a lot of my clients too, but I give everybody the goal of, you've got to try to get 7 cups of vegetables every day.
7 cups.
7 cups.
I'm trying to visualize that. Here's my problem. I'm visualizing 7 cups, but I'm smelling steaming broccoli. And steaming broccoli to me does not smell very,
right.
very good.
It doesn't have to be broccoli.
Yeah, well, but I actually love the taste of it, but for some reason I don't like the smell of it
yeah.
around the house.
Right.
But when somebody will saute it or mm-hmm. roast it mm-hmm. or do some other things, I think it doesn't smell as bad and it tastes better.
Right.
Green beans, you know, for many, many years I was only eating, steamed green beans, steamed broccoli, steamed cauliflower. And boy, if you can use a healthy oil,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've got some neat recipes on your website. Mm-hmm. Let's mention your website.
Yeah, sure.
People
it's www.nourished, NOURISHED, nutritioncounseling.com.
And on that website, you can get information. You put out a newsletter?
I do, yeah. That's actually a really, really good one for people to sign up for, because it just comes out once a week, so it's not bombarding your email with all the things. It's usually pretty short. You can read them in, you know, 15 to 20 seconds. Gives you some encouragement for the day, usually a little Bible verse, and then a recipe for the week, too.
Mm. Yeah. What kind of recipes?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of my clients will sort of drive what I post because they'll ask me for things. So, You know, a couple of months ago, I had a client asking me for more side dish recipes. So I went on this little spurt of a bunch of vegetable side dish recipes. So those are on there. I mostly do main dish recipes just because I think that's where people struggle the most. And also I really pride myself in posting things that are pretty easy, right? I have a young family. I own a business. I'm a busy person. And so I'm not going to be able to spend hours in the kitchen, and you don't have to make a healthy meal. So I try to make them easy, healthy. And they're also, you know, checkmark kid approved, because these are all things that my kids will eat.
Jennifer, when we come back, we've been talking a lot, you know, mainly from an adult perspective, but kids is really important, or are really important, I should say. We really need to understand how cooking and eating healthy for adults can be transferred down to the kids. So more with Jennifer Bryant. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
Legacy. It can be an intimidating word. What will be your legacy? It could be the very same as Billy Graham's. 2 years after his passing, and Billy Graham is still known for telling as many people as he could about Jesus Christ.
Let's get out and do it. That's our job. That's our command. That's our calling.
Billy Graham's granddaughter, Sissy Graham Lynch, says you don't need to be a preacher to follow the command that Jesus gave to all of his followers.
God just commands us to speak the gospel. Whether that's a one-on-one conversation with a friend that you've been trying to share Jesus with, and sometimes we get nervous and we're like, oh, I don't know if I'll say it correctly or if it's going to be beautiful or eloquent. No, he commands you to share the gospel, and he will do the rest.
Learn more about sharing the love of Jesus at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling, in studio with us. She's now the author of a new book. It's called The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. Right now, you're in the final stages of bringing that to the world.
Hopefully, yes.
What are you thinking, 4, 5, 6 months?
I have no idea, Jim. This is all kind of new to me. I have never written a book before, so we'll see what happens. We'll say this. The Lord is helping me be patient with the process.
Yeah. Well, and it does take a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate in this job in that I get to interview a lot of authors and a lot of them talk about the process. I've talked to people that have taken 5 years to get things out on the shelf, and others like, you know, Skip Heitzig's cranking out a book about every, you know, 90 days kind of thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is putting together the information from all of his work.
Right.
And you're kind of doing the same thing now. You're publishing, you have a newsletter.
Right.
And people can go to nourishednutritioncounseling.com.
Yes.
And they can access free recipes, get on your newsletter. Tell us about how people, well, I want to ask this question before I ask how they interact with you.
Yeah.
If I weigh 300 pounds, am I beyond hope? Can you help me?
Absolutely. Yes, I can help
if
you.
If I'm a young man, young woman, athlete, need to gain a little muscle and some strength, should I run down and buy the latest creatine protein powder, or should I have somebody like yourself, a professional, direct me in my
diet?
Well,
I would definitely prefer that you would come see a professional, yes.
Well, and I have to tell you, all of those like weight gain products,
yeah,
they really make me nervous because
yeah,
I can't imagine the stress that they put on your kidneys,
right,
and other parts of your body. And I know parents are really worried about that.
Right, I agree. And I think, I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, where, you know, we're always looking for that quick and easy thing, right? And I think that's what a lot of these supplements are, is we think that they're going to be the quick and the easy thing. And so we gravitate towards those things. And the truth is that that change takes patience. It takes effort. It takes discipline, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to kind of shift away from looking for those quick things and just focus on healthy behaviors and how we can change our habits.
Well, I want to mention, you know, growing up as an athlete, I never could really gain weight. Mm-hmm. I graduated from high school at 6'7", 165 pounds. Got in the weight room, did not take any supplements because I was nervous about, you know, other effects that would have. In the first year I was at the University of New Mexico, our strength coach put 40 pounds on me. I went from benching 100 pounds to benching 250 pounds, and I weighed 220.
Yeah.
And by the end of my career, I was about 225, 230, you know, lifting a lot of weight. And I think they really taught me how to be safe and everything else. Now, mm-hmm, I had to eat a lot of food.
Right.
There were a lot of, you know, mashed potatoes and other kinds of carbs. But I don't really remember taking any real supplements. Mm-hmm. Now, in the same breath, I'm going to tell you that I have a number of friends that were involved in weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
Some football players, some bodybuilders, et cetera. Several of those people, my friends, and we're all in our 60s now, mm-hmm, just to give you a frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
They were using anabolic steroids. Mm-hmm. They were using all kinds of crazy proteins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Without exception, every one of those folks are experiencing health issues,
mm-hmm,
today.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, I have bad knees,
right,
from playing basketball, but I'm not experiencing any of those kind of health issues,
yeah,
because that made me nervous. So I look at athletes today. There's all kinds of schools that teach you how to pitch more accurately and faster, speed training,
mm-hmm,
and throw footballs,
mm-hmm,
and catch footballs. And there's all kinds of strength training things out there. And those are all good.
Yes.
But they need to be under the direction of somebody that knows what they're talking about,
right,
when it comes to food.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You know, I think our society in general focuses a lot on exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and like you said, that's not a bad thing. I think that's a very good thing. However, think about the number of gyms that are available, and then think about how many dietitians you know.
Not many.
Right?
Right.
And so there's a huge discrepancy there, because especially when we're talking about weight loss, this is one of the areas that I really, that I specialize in. So that's kind of my reference here, but it's true with a lot of other areas as well, is you're talking 80 to 90% of your improvements or your change is diet related.
Mm.
And 10 to 20% is what you do in the gym.
Wow.
And so that's really interesting to me. And that just shows you the values of our society, right? Is we value the exercise piece of it much more than we do the diet piece of it.
So we have listeners that are interested in getting in touch with you. They go to nourishnutritioncounseling.com.
Yes. And there's a contact button. So just send me a message. If you have a question, I'm happy to answer those.
Good.
Yeah.
And what's the process? If somebody decides they want to use your services, what do you do?
Yeah, so first thing is they would reach out, of course, and tell me they're interested. And maybe just a little something about, you know, what's your goal? You know, because I get all kinds of different reasons that people come to me. And so I like to know why are you coming? You know, what's your goal here? And then what I do is I provide some options. Right now, I just started doing a one-time 90-minute diabetes education counseling session for $140. So that's kind of new. I've really been enjoying those. I just had a new person last week who said, you know, I came into this appointment wondering what in the world we were going to talk about for 90 minutes. And he said, I don't think we're done yet. He's like, I learned so much. I have so much more information now. I'm so happy. He said, that was the best $140 I have ever spent.
Well, and you're talking about diabetes, which there's two basic diseases. One is type 2, which is the most common.
Right.
And a very large percentage of the population that have type 2 diabetes can literally have go into remission if they lose weight.
Right, right. Yeah. And so it's a wonderfully empowering statistic that we can not necessarily reverse, but like you said, go into remission. That's a really good way to put it. We can control that disease, right? And right. So that's really cool to be able to take control of something like that.
Yeah. Well, and folks that have type 1 diabetes, mm-hmm. I, of course, have some experience because my daughter, who's now in her 20s, has been type 1 diabetic since she was 4 years old. So I've seen the terror. I experienced it myself mm-hmm. when she was diagnosed and we felt like we were close to losing her.
Right.
But I've seen parents that now understand with a little encouragement that I've been able to give them that it's just, you can live a healthy life.
Yeah.
It is a tougher routine.
Right.
You got to watch what you eat. You got to monitor your blood glucose. You got to do all kinds of things. But I can tell you that I haven't had a soft drink since she was diagnosed, mm-hmm. You know, over 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that has made me feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no diet drinks, none of that. I love water.
Yeah.
I love tea. I drink coffee black.
Yeah.
And maybe I drink too much tea and too much coffee, but we'll have to talk about that at another time.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, tell us about kids and just getting your children to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Whatever, but do you have to make them something special or
no,
will they eat what everybody else is eating?
I do not make my children something special unless it's maybe their birthday, right? So
yeah.
Every once in a while on a special occasion, I'll make them their favorite meal. But they eat what we eat for sure. And we started that from a very young age, you know, and I'm a firm believer in tough love here, right? So, they, if they're hungry, they'll eat. Right. And you give them one choice and that's what they eat. And my rule in my house is they have to try everything. They do not have to finish. They do not have to clean their plates, but they do have to try everything. And then if there's something that they really don't like, I usually don't make them eat at least a lot of it. I might make them eat two or three bites. But
now you do not make your kids eat beets.
You know what? That's so funny. We actually did have roasted
Jennifer beets
vegetables the other day. I don't love them myself, actually, but here's what I did. I made myself try them because I don't love them. I made some roasted vegetables with beets. I had my kids eat one bite each.
Wow.
They did not love it, but they tried it, and I was happy with that.
Yeah.
So,
hey, we're going to have one more segment. Want to talk a little bit about sugar and our children, sugar and our own bodies. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with Jennifer Bryant. Stay with us.
I'm Sarah Crutchfield, owner of High Desert Hospice. After 32 years in healthcare, I know how important high-quality care is for those facing end of life. Whether as a patient or a family member, it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of corporate company trying to provide hospice care. Corporate policies often prevent services patients and their families need. That's why I founded High Desert Hospice, to provide the loving care we'd give to our own family. Let our family take care of yours. HighDesertHospice.care.
Mark Pardo Salon Spa invites you to experience ultimate relaxation in our award-winning environment. Find our new guest offer at MarkPardo.com and receive $15 toward any Salon Spa experience, including cut and style, conditioning treatments, color, texture and treatments, makeup and lashes, or relaxing spa services. Set your first appointment today at Mark Pardo Salon Spa. Call 298-2983 or at markpardo.com.
This is Chip Lusko, General Manager of KNKT and Star 88. In 2020, you'll be hearing a lot about our great mission campaign, let you know about what's happening on the mission field. We start with Bev Rich on the Called Christians campus in Jinja, Uganda. I want you to hear from Bev about the impact of our recent giving.
Hi, friends in New Mexico. This is Beverly Rich. I want to thank you for your support in December. It made such a difference in our mission. So let me say a huge thank you and fill you in quickly on some of the outreaches that your gifts made possible. The first one is our prison ministry. This year we were able to rebuild the prison church that had fallen down. We also were able to provide rice on Christmas Day for 5,000 prisoners instead of their usual meal of maize meal and beans. Thanks for listening, and also thank you for any of that support you can provide. And here's Chip to tell you how. God bless you.
We'd like to continue seeing support for this important work in Uganda to grow. Would you consider giving a gift right now? Go to either knkt.com or star88.fm and click on the Give Uganda slide.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It is time in the program to talk about sugar.
Yes.
Because we all love sugar.
We do.
I got to bring up a point, Jennifer. Jennifer Bryant, nurse, nutrition counseling in studio with us, and we thank you for staying with us today on ABQ Connect. Jennifer, you bring us all kinds of cool ideas. Want to mention your book one more time, The Nourished Road, 8 Weeks of Food and Faith to Fuel Your Health. Book will be coming out shortly.
Hopefully, yes.
And we're going to talk more about the book and other things in the coming months. And last year you were on the program 6 or 7 times. Hope to have you on every 4 or 5 weeks this year. Tell us about sugar. Are we all ingesting more sugar than we should?
Probably, yes. Yeah. So the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association, all of these, you know, really important associations have come out with a recommendation for sugar. And what we're seeing is that most Americans are eating 3 to 5 times the sugar that we should be eating. Wow. So it's a huge, huge problem in our society. And one of the reasons is because sugar itself actually has some highly addictive properties. So, you know, this is both good and bad news, because when we start eating more and more of it, we want more and more of it, right? So that's the bad news. But then the good news is when you start cutting down on it, it actually becomes a lot easier to avoid as well. Mm. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
So if we look at a package, I can't help but think about TV dinners.
Right.
A lot of people, single people, they go buy what they think is a healthy TV dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It says low fat
mm-hmm,
on it.
Mm-hmm.
What that normally means is that the fat has been replaced by sugar.
Yes.
Which, of course, if you don't burn off that sugar, it's immediately converted into fat and stored in your body. So are we getting sugar from sources that we may not even expect?
Yeah, probably. And the good news is we actually have new rules on our food label now where the manufacturers actually have to separate which sugars are added.
Oh.
And so this is actually really helpful, because especially in like dairy products, you know, other foods that have fruit in them where there's some natural sugars, now we can really see how much sugar has been added to that product.
I'm going to give you an example. Used to think that giving my children cranberry juice
mm-hmm.
was a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Sorry if they're going to get mad at me. But it almost had more sugar in it than soft drinks,
yes,
and
yeah.
It wasn't good for my children.
Juice is one of those things where what we do is we literally extract all of the fruit sugar from the fruit. We leave the fiber, we leave a lot of the other nutrients, and we put the sugar in a bottle, and we call it juice. And even if it says 100% fruit, it's still a lot of sugar.
I've noticed that when my children ate sugar, they would typically get colds
mm-hmm.
and other kinds of small illnesses
yeah.
much more frequently.
Yeah.
Does sugar harm your immune system?
Absolutely. And, you know, the immune system specifically, but I actually have a client right now. She is lovely and she is a cancer survivor. And her main purpose in coming to me was, she said, I had this cancer. I'm in remission, but I know that my cancer feeds on sugar.
Wow.
And so one of my goals is to get rid of that sugar. She said, I don't even want to give it a chance to come back. And she's done very, very well with that. But I think because it was such a real goal of hers, it was so personal to her, and she knew the consequences of eating sugar, she was able to be very successful with that.
So if you're snacking on a Snickers bar at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably a little too much sugar.
Well, and what happens is when we our bodies crave sugar when we get tired, right? Which is typically around this time of day, right?
Uh-huh.
2, 3 in the afternoon. And so we crave that sugar, we eat that sugar. And what happens is we get a positive effect from it for a very short time. So for 10 to 15 minutes after we consume it, we feel great. We have more energy. But then we get the crash,
yeah.
right? So ultimately, it is not a good solution.
Hey, this is totally off script. We got about 1 minute left. How about these energy drinks and these things that you buy at the counter when you pay
mm-hmm.
for your gas at the 7 to 11? You know, these little 5-hour energy drinks.
Yeah.
Is this stuff good for you?
No. Again, it's a temporary solution to a problem, right? You're going to feel better real short term, and then you're going to crash. So no.
It's funny, but I learned a long time ago that if you eat sunflower seeds, you don't fall asleep when you're driving.
Oh.
Sunflower seeds bad for you?
No, actually, those are probably a pretty good choice.
Pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Jennifer Bryant, she's the founder of Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you here in a few weeks. Thanks. It's this afternoon on ABQ Connect.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.